Over these past couple of months, I've offered a few homilies on the subject of giving yourself away as a sign of spiritual maturity. That spirituality shouldn't be so much about what you can get from God, and it should be much more about what you are giving to God. You might remember the homily that I gave about the agave plant. The agave is one of the most fascinating plants by the fact that it spends its entire life gathering nutrients. It collects things. It drinks up the water around it and stores that water in its broad, spiny arms. And when the agave reaches maturity, it shoots out a magnificent stalk with the loveliest yellow flowers adorning the top of the stalk, 10, 15, 20 feet tall. Most remarkable is that the agave only blooms once in its life. And when it does so, its life changes directions completely, because after the bloom occurs, rather than continuing to gather resources, rather than continuing to drink up all the water it can, the agave begins to die. It gives itself away. The agave's mark of maturity is that it becomes totally dedicated to giving itself away. This is a key to mature spirituality. Then, in another homily that you might remember, I spoke of an idea by Father Thomas Merton that the mature Christian, a mature person really for that matter, no matter what religion they espouse, is someone who's able to live a carefree life. Not a careless life. Not a reckless life. A carefree life. This is the mark of a Christian, he says. And it can be seen most clearly in one's prayer life. Mature prayer isn't about praying for something per se. Even though praying for things, intercessory prayer, is a major component of the Christian life for sure. But the deepest prayer isn't about accumulating God's generosity. It's just the opposite. The deepest prayer is prayer that gives yourself away. Prayer that casts your cares into the hands of God. So what grips you in your life? What do you really ruminate on? What dominates your thoughts and feelings? What concerns you? What are you anxious about? These are the things that should be given away as your prayer. And when you can do that, you will be living a more carefree life. Not a careless life, not a reckless life. A life that casts your cares into the hands of God. This week, the choir and I went on pilgrimage to Spain and Lourdes, France, and Fatima, Portugal. And I heard one of the most fascinating things. You may or may not be aware that in Lourdes, France, there's only been about 75 people who have had documented cures from their ailments by going to the waters of Lourdes. And there's been millions of people who have gone there. Only 75 people have been cured. And so you might think, well, that's ridiculous. Why would I go then? Because that's not what Lourdes is all about. You go to Lourdes to give away your sickness to God. And He receives that gift, and as any good gift, you allow Him to use that gift as He wishes. You don't give a gift to somebody and say, now, here's what I want you to do with that gift. No. You give the gift, and you say, it is yours. Do with it as you will. This is what Lourdes is all about. So people go there who are sick, and they go to the waters, and they give that illness to God. And He might cure that illness, or He might carry that illness with you. This is the kind of spirituality that I'm talking about. This is what being carefree means. to give your cares into the hands of God because he cares about what you care about. Now, here we are at Epiphany, and there are so many angles from which we can approach the story. The Magi, the three kings, astrologers, wise men, whatever they were, we really don't know. We also don't know from where they came. It just says in the scripture, from the east. We presume that there were three because the scripture does indicate that there were three gifts. And they weren't members of the church either. They weren't Jewish. They were probably some form of early Zoroastrianism. So while the shepherds from Luke's gospel represent the faithful Jews of the region, the first group to come and visit the baby Jesus, the Magi are different. They represent the rest of the world who arrive from way off the grid to see this thing that has happened in Bethlehem. They come from a totally different perspective, which of course should teach us that non-believers, strangers, even atheists for that matter, are all invited to this encounter with God made flesh. Also, the Magi, I think this is very interesting, they didn't come to discuss how the divinity and humanity of Jesus are one. They didn't come to debate whether or not Mary was conceived without sin or not, or if the Gospel of Luke is the faithful account of the event, or Matthew tells the story best. The Magi are not there to receive answers. They're only there for one reason: to give. They've come, and their prayer of homage is giving, which I think is quite interesting. The Magi are you and me, and the gold, frankincense, and myrrh are stand-ins for what we bring today, this year's Christmas. We don't come here necessarily to find the answers. We come here to give ourselves over to the answer. We don't come here to find answers, because if you do, you're going to leave probably frustrated. You come here to say, I am giving myself over to the answer. And in doing so, we might actually end up getting the answer that eludes us. Father Ron Rollheiser blogs about this. Think about the agave plant giving its entire self away when it reaches maturity. Think about Merton's idea that mature prayer is prayer that isn't looking to get something, but rather seeking to give something to God. Think about these Magi. Father Rollheiser writes, "The wise men follow the star and find the new king, and upon seeing him, they place their gifts at his feet. What happens to them afterwards, we don't know," which is exactly the point. They've given themselves away. They slip away into anonymity. They disappear from the spotlight because now that they've given their gifts, they can disappear from the spotlight. They've placed their gifts at the feet of the young king, and now they can leave everything safely in his hands. Rollheiser concludes, like Simeon in the temple, they can now leave, singing, "Now, Lord, you can dismiss your servants. We are safe in your hands." This is what your prayer life is supposed to be like. This is what you should be praying for. Not necessarily for things, although it's okay to pray for things like other people or for yourself. But the deepest prayer is to pray that you will give yourself into the hands of God. At the end of my day, when I'm all churched out and I've said all the prayers that I can say and said all the masses and gone to all the meetings, the only prayer that I have left to say when I put my head on the pillow is, "Lord, don't let go of me. If you do, I will be lost. Take me into your hands." This is the prayer of all prayers, right there. Take me into you, Lord. It's not about getting something from God. It's about giving something to God. We come to see the baby king, and what should we do? We should hand over to him not just the precious treasures of our lives, which of course we should always do because they're his anyway, and we give him joyful praise for that. But the key here is that we bring him everything else in our lives, our cares, our anxieties, our worries, our old hurts and our old mistakes, our gold, our frankincense, our myrrh, is our adoration of him. Yes, but I propose to you today that the gift that means more to him than our treasures are our tragedies. The gift we should bring him is actually our uncertainties in life, because they are as important to him as are our blessings. When our prayer is purely sentimental, when our prayer is sentimental prayer that remains only on the surface, talking about the nice things of life to God, they don't really reveal to him the anxious depths of our being, our hurts, our insecurity, our sadnesses in life. When we don't give him everything, we can't reach spiritual maturity. Epiphany is the day that we give these treasures. I know it doesn't seem like they would be treasures. How can our heartbreaks be treasures? They're treasures to God because God knows how much we care about them, and he cares about what we care about. Epiphany is the day that we give them to God because he cares what we care about. And then, like the Magi, after they've given their gifts, what do? We push on into life, but in a new direction. That's the classic take on Epiphany from Bishop Fulton Sheen. The Magi come bringing their gifts to God, and then they leave in a new direction. That's the kind of epiphany God wants for you today. That's the kind of gift God wants from you today. A gift that means something and that will return from him as a new vision, a new light, a new way of seeing things in life. That's what an epiphany is. He wants us to have an epiphany today. So, when we finish Mass, don't go out to your car. Go to the creche in the chapel and spend a moment giving him your treasure. Just like the Magi, give him glory for what is so good in your life, and then go deeper. And give him what is so difficult in your life. The things you so joyfully and painfully care about are the same things that he so joyfully and painfully cares about too. And we know this because the joy of the creche, even as we speak, is on its way to the joy of the cross and resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.